This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. I'm excited to invite back into the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio our tech ambassador, Tyrell Dennison. Ty, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kyle. And you?
Very good. 2013 isn't even a month old, but already there's been plenty of high tech and digital news. It starts with this thing in Las Vegas called the CES. What is that?
This crazy thing in Las Vegas, yeah. Every year, all the big hardware manufacturers and people who want to become big hardware manufacturers meet up in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Showcase, otherwise known to people who don't like it as CES. And it's a madhouse. There's some amazing things, and there's some silly things, and you get to see it all.
So what were some of the items this year?
Well, we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got phones. We've got TVs. Wearable technology is kind of the new hip new thing, and we'll see some wearables. As far as phones, one of the phones that kind of got the most attention, and this is interesting because it almost seems a little backward thinking, but there's a phone called the Yoda phone.
Yoda? Like the character from Star Wars?
No, Y-O-T-A, Yoda.
Yoda. Okay.
And it's an Android phone that has a normal Android interface that everyone's accustomed to these days. But the back of the Yoda phone has an e-ink display, like an e-reader, like a Kindle or a Nook. And those have exceptional battery life. And what you can do is set your phone to display things to you on your e-ink display, and it gives your phone days more battery life because you can look at a lot of stuff through the e-ink display, and then when you need to interact with stuff on your Android high-definition screen, you can flip it over and do that. And so as smartphones become more and more powerful, you hear everybody complain about, well, I got to charge my phone at least once a day now and things like that. And so the Yoda phone is taking a step to alleviating that with something like an e-ink display on the back. So,
okay, that one I like. That one makes sense.
Yeah, it's a practical one. There's some really practical ones. Another really practical one that in regards to TV that everyone raved about, and this is one that you can get now, but it got under a lot of hot water, so to speak, because it's in litigation. Dish Network's Hopper with the Sling adapter.
Okay.
So there's the Hopper.
Which skips commercials.
Skips commercials. And primetime, anytime.
Right.
Which is already controversial enough. And
because
then
CBS is suing
correct
Dish over this.
Yes, and a lot of people, Viacom.
Right.
Also,
Viacom owns CBS.
Oh, is that right?
Versa,
yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah. Viacom. And Viacom owns a lot of media companies, obviously. And so the Sling adapter, I've actually got a Dish Network, and I have a Sling adapter on my set-top box, and it allows me to access my content anywhere, like my smartphone, computer, tablet, internet, you name
it. And not just at your house, but anywhere you are.
Anywhere I am.
If you're in a fjord in Norway, presumably, and you have Wi-Fi,
uh-huh.
And I think the fjords in Norway do, you could access content from your Dish subscription.
Yep. Excuse me. 4K TVs were the big move in TV land.
4K TVs.
4K TVs. If you'll remember last year, we had a conversation along these lines, and 3D TVs. Everyone wanted you to buy their 3D TV. Well, they've officially given up on 3D TVs. They realized it's too much of a gimmick and doesn't look as great as they told you it did. And
okay.
So they're moving on. Although most high-end TVs now still have 3D capabilities, they're not making that a selling factor. 4K TVs, the resolution, 4K stands for 4,000, and that's the horizontal resolution. Mm-hmm. So right now most of us look at a 720 or 1080 resolution television. These 4K TVs have a resolution four times tighter than that.
So does that mean the image is sharper?
Exceptionally sharper. So much sharper. And here's the criticism of them. At a reasonable distance, the human eye can't distinguish it.
You can't even
people
tell
go,
what
what's
it
the
is?
Point? It's so, well, I mean, you can see things, but you can't. At a reasonable viewing distance, sitting on your couch, if your TV isn't really close to you, the difference between a 1080 resolution and a 4K resolution, it's hard to tell.
I see.
Now, that being said, people have always said that, but it's kind of one of those things where when you're watching one for a while and you go back to the other, there's something different.
Okay.
There's something, you're just kind of like, what was?
So this is like HD plus.
HD plus, plus, plus.
Plus, okay.
So watch for 4K TVs, though you won't be able to get one anytime soon. Well, you can, but you would sooner want to buy a car.
Okay.
Because they the cheap guy on the block starts at $5,000, and that's the throwaway. Who wants that one?
Right.
So we're talking $10,000
okay.
out the door for a 4K TV that's worth having. But it allows for larger television sets.
Anything else that was at CES that we should keep an eye out for? Or?
Oh, yeah. One of the big things. There's a couple of things in gaming that were significant. One of them was the Razer Edge tablet, which is an Android tablet that docks into controls. And this is something that the gaming industry has wanted for a while. And so everyone's really excited about that because you've got the full power of an Android tablet, but you've got the familiar feel of a controller in your hand. And so this kind of takes the two and combines it to one. But beyond that, and this is actually going back in time to go forward in time, the Oculus Rift is a virtual reality helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 90s, we had things like virtual reality helmets.
Right.
And everything looked like cubist art, and
exactly.
You got motion sick. And so we all kind of gave up on that. And those were birthed from a lot of like Neal Stephenson cyberpunk novels and, you know, these dystopian futures where everyone plugged into this mm-hmm. another world. And so we thought we were getting that in the 90s, and then it was like, no, this is awful, and everyone put it away. Well, the manufacturers of the Oculus Rift kind of held on to that. And they showed up with one at CES and blew everybody out of the water because, as you know, graphics have gotten substantially
right.
better. And everything's smoother now. Things run faster. And so there's not the kind of shakiness that there once was. And a lot of people are saying, this is really something here. You know, Nintendo's kind of tried to do it with the 3DS. But the Oculus Rift is going to really change what people think of when they think of gaming, because, you know, they even did 3D games on 3D TVs, and those didn't work out.
Right.
But this is going back to something and revisiting it and saying this might still be worth our attention. So it's really cool. It's something to watch. The developer's release of it will be in March, and so not until then will we really see what people are capable of, because people will be able to start writing games specifically for it, and then we'll really see what it can do. But a lot of people are paying attention to the Oculus Rift, so...
Oculus Rift. I love the name.
That's fun. Wearables were another big thing.
You mentioned this. Okay, wearable electronics?
Wearable electronics.
So my jacket is a phone?
Your jacket isn't a phone, but your watch is. Smartwatches were everywhere.
Smartwatches.
And
I just gave up my watch because my phone now tells me the time.
I have to say, I'm the most excited. I actually have one of these coming to me. They're not ready yet. It's called the Pebble smartwatch. There were a lot of smartwatches at CES, but this watch started as a Kickstarter project. Mm-hmm. Kickstarter.com is a crowdfunding site.
Right. You can fund your compact disc release. You can fund an artistic trip or something like a Pebble phone.
The manufacturing of a watch.
Yes.
And so what this phone does is it shows me the time, obviously, because it's a watch. I said, what this phone does. But it also sync to my phone and will display text messages. It'll display emails. It will allow me to control my music. It'll allow me to set notifications to come to my watch. And so I can walk into my home and put my phone down and just kind of leave it there and yet still be marginally aware of it. This is a modern problem, obviously, but I set my phone down and I want to not carry my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I hate carrying my phone. If it's bulky in my pocket, and I feel like I'm at its
beck and call
if I've got it on me, so I put my phone down. And you can ignore your phone for so long, but it sits there going,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, what information am I missing? Is any of this important? Because everyone knows that they can contact you now, so something might actually be important. But now with a device like this, I can put my phone down, and see, I get a bzzz, and my wrist will show, and I can go, oh, that's nothing to worry about. And I can just continue on what I'm doing. So I can at a glance see if something requires my attention or not. I can dismiss things easily and just kind of go from there. Another step in wearable fitness or wearable technology is the Fitbit. Fitbit's been around for a while, mm-hmm. but they came out with the Flex, which is a bracelet. A Fitbit you clip on, the Fitbit Flex you wear as a bracelet, and it's wearable technology in that it's got a pedometer and a gyroscope and all manner of electronics that sync via Bluetooth to software that keeps track of your steps, how far you've walked, kind of. I don't think it has a heart rate monitor in it. I could be wrong. I'd have to check. But it keeps track. It watches your sleep rhythms. And it reports all that back to you. So it is a live fitness alert system to keep you aware of the fitness level of your life.
Hmm.
And a lot of people are excited about this. A lot of people have already had Fitbits, but they were clip-ons and you could lose them. And a lot of people would wash them accidentally because you put it in your pocket and things like that. And so this watch one now, and it's waterproof, so you can just wear it. And a lot of people are really excited about it.
I can understand that.
And then there were a lot of unawesome things at CES.
As there always are.
Yeah. Something that some people liked but a lot of people hated was the Happy Fork.
The Happy Fork?
This is a fork that notifies you when you're eating too quickly. Because when you eat too quickly, you eat more because your body doesn't have the ability to tell you you're full yet.
Uh-huh.
And so if you, the fork senses you're eating too fast, it starts to vibrate to tell you, stop eating so quickly.
And that's going
to
make you stop?
If you spent the hundreds of dollars on a vibrating fork, I would hope you'd have the self-control to stop.
Okay, so Happy Fork.
Happy Fork. And then the one that got the most attention, I think, as far as product-wise, most scorn, was the iPotty. And is a.
I'm not sure I want to even know, but let's go.
It's a potty training seat with an iPad stand built into it.
Okay.
And it's a case, so obviously you don't want your child who's potty training touching your iPad.
Yeah.
So it snaps into this protective case, but it sits there, and so while your child's sitting there learning to go potty, they can interact with an iPad. And a lot of people, that brought up a lot of concern and hate.
Tyrell Dennison is our tech ambassador at Ozarks at Large. He was discussing the new product showcased at this year's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Support for KUAF comes from the Rogers Historical Museum, offering real objects, true stories, family fun, and lifelong learning. Current exhibits include Benton County crime stories, Building Rogers, and To Cap It All Off, an exhibit on hats and hat making. Located in historic downtown Rogers, 621-1154 or rogersarkansas.com/museum for more information.